The Hawaii Sports Radio Network on 95.1 FM and AM 760 presents Wake Up in the Den with Kuule Agbayani.
People, let's wake up in the den. I'm Kuule Agbayani alongside Paul Brecht. Happy Aloha Friday and happy, I don't know, I was just feeling in a total UH mood today. So I thought, you know what? Let's open with the UH fight song. Here's to our old Hawaii. Let's go Bows. And mainly because a couple of big stuff happening today, but also recapping what happened yesterday. We'll get to a lot of local sports and get you caught up with what's going on in the HHSAA state tournaments happening right now, and that being boys volleyball and girls water polo. There is also track and field that begins today and runs today and tomorrow. So bunch of stuff to get you guys caught up with. But let's start off with a couple of the big things with the University of Hawaii. First things first, the Bass Bows. My goodness. Oh, my goodness. Rich Hill and the Rainbow Warriors just continue to roll on yesterday, beating UC Riverside 11-2. And why is that so significant? A couple of reasons why. Ninth straight win for the University of Hawaii, longest win streak of Rich Hill's tenure, and currently the nation's longest win streak. This is also the 30th win of the season, which is the first time they've reached this mark since 2012. So it's a huge deal, everybody. And for those who aren't really versed in the college baseball universe, if you guys haven't noticed, when we would talk about HPU baseball all the time, that 30 win mark is very, very significant. It's not easy to come by. It's kind of like the reverse of some of the other sports we see, like take our men's volleyball, right? Like they had an undefeated season, yada, yada, yada. It's practically impossible to go undefeated in baseball. It's just the way that it is with pitching matchups and all of that stuff. There's so many things that factors that come into play with baseball that the win mark becomes kind of the goal, and getting to 30 wins again hasn't been done here since 2012. So over 10 years, and Rich Hill just keeps on rolling, just like Dane Fujinaka at HPU. This is Coach Hill's third year as well. So that speaks volumes to what he's building. I also want to go back to what he mentioned in the media avail where, hey, these guys don't get tired. They're preparing to be professionals. And I think that's exciting to know that he continues to build that type of program. So some of the best players in the country believe that they can still come and play here at the University of Hawaii, but also they are on track to be a professional eventually, and not necessarily thinking they got to go to like Vanderbilt or I don't know where the baseball schools are anymore, but I know Vanderbilt's always like the big one.
You can always say Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt, that is for sure.
They might not have the good football team in the SEC, but their baseball team is kind of like their focus over there. So it's huge, and they still have a couple more games left with UC Riverside and quite a few more games left of the season. So they can continue to roll and get surpass that 30 win mark, of course, but also we'll see how long this win streak keeps up. And if you're a player, oh man, this is kind of like you want to always keep the streak going at this point. It almost feels like you're going for an undefeated season with a win streak this long. Again, nation's longest win streak at the moment.
And the best part about this Bows team, if I've gleaned anything from the time talking to Rich Hill, I don't think the Bows are thinking about a win streak right now. I think they're thinking about winning today and then winning Sunday, right? That's the next time they play. They skip over tomorrow because they love us so much. No. It's awesome to see them really hitting their stride here later in the season. And historically, with this Bows program, 30 has not been the magic number, but has been an excellent indicator, right? Mm-hmm. Where 34, 35 wins, you look at that and all of a sudden you're talking about potential regional berth and just how hot they've been lately. And just for, you know, a little bit of context, it's the 26th longest win streak in the nation this season tied for 26th, I should say. But the thing is, with one more win, they would jump up five spots to be tied for 21st with like 30 teams, not really, but with like four or five teams, and then you quickly move up the ranks from there. The longest win streak in the nation is 19 games. I don't think we're beating that this
season.
Well,
we don't have that many more
games
left.
That's what I mean.
We have 8 games left, to be
exact. That's what I mean. I mean, wait a second. Wait, what if we make it to the regional? And then does that count? That's the question for me. Anyway, it's been very fun.
How long ago was that, 19 games? Or that's this season? Or?
Yeah, that's this season, this season. Because the longest win streaks, like, ever, like 30-some-odd games. We're not getting there this year. But no, either way, the Bows have been the hottest team in the nation, and by a pretty significant margin. Mm-hmm. If you look at their bats, their arms, everything that they're doing, last night exploding for 7 runs in the bottom of the 8th inning to really just put the game away an inning early. And that's kind of been the case for them over the past few weeks. We saw them on the road at UC San Diego with another offensive explosion. It just continues. CSUN last weekend, and these are great teams they're doing against, and not to disparage UC Riverside, but Riverside, a team that's not competing for the top of the Big West right now. So it was a little bit worrisome at first to see the Bows not struggle, but have UC Riverside creeping around a little bit. It was 4-2 all the way till late, and then, like I said, you explode for 7 runs in that bottom of the 8th inning, make it 11-2 and finish it off right there like that, and just continue what has been a phenomenal stretch for Rich Hill's team.
Yeah, and this was without the rainy weather that was supposed to come in. I kind of chuckled before we jumped on air, because if you guys look at the box score, and there's always a little area that says weather. Shout out to Darren Eha, because he's likely the one that fills all of this stuff out, and it says ... Because for the whole week, and Coach Hill was asked about it in the media scrum about, you know, managing your team in the likely wet weather. But of course, he took a chuckle out of it and said, rain? It rains in Hawaii? What? So it was kind of
advantage
funny.
Bows.
But the
rain.
Yeah. The base, or was it Bow Warrior time? 7-8-9, Bow Warrior time. And look, 7-8. Is the beginning, and that was Bow Warrior time. So it's
7-8, shut it down 9.
So it's coming down the pipe, and again, exciting to see 30th win of the season, first time since 2012, nation's current longest win streak. I don't think I said current at first, but current longest win streak, and his obviously Coach Hill's longest win streak. And this is, oh my gosh, I'm just so excited for Rainbow Baseball, because we're going to see a lot of fans out there tonight and Sunday.
And then we've seen a ton of fans out all season. You guys have done a great job supporting these young men and these student athletes all across sports, but especially in baseball this season. And I love seeing it continue. And this is what Rich Hill was brought, pardon me. This is what Rich Hill was brought to Hawaii for, though, which was to reinvigorate a sleeping giant of a fan base here. Mm-hmm. We've talked about it, you know, here and there throughout this season, where the Bows average a top 30 attendance in the nation out of all Division I teams that have baseball. That's awesome. And honestly, I'm probably underselling it, because I couldn't remember if it was top 25 or not. And it's they feed off that energy. They continue to get better. We've seen so many young pieces this season, because you talk about the Rich Hill availability we heard yesterday. I think it was yesterday. Oh, God. Days sticking together at this point. But you hear that and talk about, oh, well, the fatigue for freshmen who are experience a college season for the first time. They get better for next year. There are more bats coming in next year. And like, I know we're not looking ahead to next year yet, but this is what the first 3 years is supposed to look like for a new head coach rebuilding a program. You get your foundation, you make it look like you're going in the right direction in year two, and by year three, with a lot of your guys coming in, now you're starting to compete. Next year is going to be even crazier. It's exciting times to be a Bows baseball fan again, and that's the way it should be, because Hawaii and baseball are almost synonymous, and it's a shame that there was even a time where it went through
take a dip.
Right.
And that's the thing, right? Like, so year one, obviously instilling yourself as a coach, and then 1-2 is kind of the instilling the overall culture, because it can take a little while to break old habits, form new habits, getting out there in the community. And then, like you mentioned, year three, and is what we've mentioned all throughout this show, specifically when we talk about University of Hawaii football, because I know a lot of people are just like, oh my gosh, we're like, how come we can't turn the corner instantaneously like we've seen be done with like Oregon and some of these bigger programs with all the resources.
But when you have a program,
yeah, exactly. Money, resources.
Exorbitant amounts of money.
But at least this is kind of a good comparison now that with, you know, Timmy Chang's third year coming up now, this is where we can ideally, and what we will assume the projection is, to start seeing the wins come in year three, where you start to turn around. We saw year one, Timmy Chang was very much about getting into the community, mending broken relationships that had like basically shattered under Coach Graham. So that's a lot of Timmy's focus, getting the fans back, getting people to be excited. Year two, all right, got that full recruiting year and starting to bring in the pieces. Again, rebuilding, because you lost guys that got NFL opportunities. My goodness. And then
guys that got NFL opportunities.
Yeah. Year three is now we are like, all right, this is where we need to start seeing us get to at least that 500 mark when it comes to football, right? So this is where the expectation is going to be that much higher. Still too high of an expectation to say, hey, we're going to win the Mountain West Championship, even though on this show we put on our manifesting hat.
That we will always manifest the
kick
best.
Butt and take names. But no, realistically, how it works, it would be like, all right, this is the season you get to 500. Next season would be, for sure, we better be in the Mountain West Championship conversation. So as you guys can see, when we look at baseball, we're Rich Hill. It's like, this is where we've come to now, the 30-win mark. Hopefully they don't, next season you go into it saying you're not going to take that kind of slump in the middle, which is what happened with the Bows, and now they're playing their best baseball. Unfortunately, there's no postseason tournament. Luckily, next year there is a Big West tournament. So, but it was interesting because looking back at I just want to round off our baseball conversation with this. When I look back, I was curious at that 2012 team. So they did make the WAC tournament at that time, but they did lose to Fresno State and Louisiana Tech.
I'm like, man,
flashback to memory lane. Some of the players on that team, because I was like, oh, I'm curious at what are these rosters are there? We got, let's see.
2012.
Kael Aliviado. I remember that name. Steven Ventimiglia, Alan Baldwin. Oh, P.E.K. Akitamura. That's a name I haven't heard in a while, too, looking through this thing. Kalei Hanawahine, Braylon Almodova. Is he still with the Party Animals? I forget. He was with, like, that Savannah Banana brother team that is the Party Animals or whatnot.
Having the slightest clue.
But that's interesting to see, and not a Colton Wong team, which was, I was like, is that a Colton Wong team? No, it's not. So, and Chad Konishi was on the coaching staff back then. That's what it was.
That is something you and I love to hammer on, is like assistant coaches that are now head coaches. We're like, yeah, because we do the same thing with Jesse Nakanishi this year in HPU basketball.
All right, well, that rounds up our baseball conversation today. So hopefully they can keep the win streak going, as they have 8 games left in this regular season. 2 more against UC Riverside tonight and Sunday afternoon, and then they go on the road to Long Beach State to play 3 games, and then they come back and round out the regular season, or I guess the season as a whole. We never know. We're going to keep winning all the way out, and they're going to have to, like, they're going to find every which reason to keep us out of some kind of postseason something. So
don't challenge the NCAA. They will smite us here.
It's going to cost us too much to fly you guys out to whatever. So we're going to leave you out. If it's between you guys and a cheaper team to travel, then we're going to go with the cheaper team.
Just keep winning. Just win, baby.
But no, they round out the season with Cal State Fullerton here at home, May 23rd through the 25th. All right. When we come back, we will continue our University of Hawaii talk and get you caught up with a lot of the stuff happening in the state tournament next on Wake Up in the Den.
This is how we do it. Back to more Wake Up in the Den with Ku'ule Ogbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
It's Aloha Friday, Kule Agbayani and Paul Brecht. The party's right here in the Hawaii Sports Radio Network studio, as it always is. Dang it. I should have done like a selfie video. You guys, literally, Paul and I were just like in our own mode right there when the music started. But that's how it has to be on this Aloha Friday. And I hope you guys enjoy just not only the show, but some of the jams that we play for you. And hope you guys dance along too, or at least bob your head, obviously, if you're driving or whatnot. Sing along to the music. As you guys have probably figured out right now, the music on this show is like all types of genres, all different eras, because we just have a good old time over here.
All we do is vibe, and that's how we do it.
A lot of songs that came out before Paul was born.
And you know what? I know all of them.
That's when you know they're good.
Exactly.
You know them.
Well, because they have replayability, and yeah. This is how we do it. Just another
this
one
is
of them.
One song that came out before you were born.
And you know what, Koo? That's how we do it. We dance in here, and it's how Hawaii does it. We start off the show with the University of Hawaii baseball team on a nation-long win streak, and then we continue along, and we got our Rainbow Wahine water polo later today.
Woo-hoo! Continuing, hopefully, the win as one of the really good teams we've seen so far, but it's hard to say the best team, and we'll actually hear from Coach Mo Cole in just a little bit, where she even talks about how she was asked, like, is this the best team you've ever had? And she's like, it's the most special. And it's hard because women's water polo has been so good at the University of Hawaii that, yeah, if I'm the coach, well, one, you don't want
to,
like, you don't want to sound like
anybody else.
But even if you're a fan and speaking to whoever, like, yeah, it's hard to say that this is the best team. They're the most, I guess, on paper successful so far,
they've
right?
Been,
the two top 10 or number one wins or something like that. Yeah.
I mean, they've had the highest ranking in their program's history for I don't even know how many weeks now. They've been number two in the nation, and they've
UCLA.
Been maybe it's I think the best word for them is they've been the most consistent team because they go unbeaten throughout Big West play. They go. And that's including
and
the Big West tournament.
And then win the Big West championship.
Right. And before that, you get your first ever win over Stanford. USC twice, I think.
Mm-hmm.
They've beaten so many teams, it's hard to keep track at this point. And then you finally get to see a team who will test your consistency in Princeton in the first round of the NCAA tournament. And it's a Princeton team that you've already competed against this season. So you want to talk about consistency? You won the first time. Can you win the second and more important one?
We're just like, well, hey, everyone's the enemy right now.
True, but we like Princeton other than this time because they gave us
Jerome DeRozier and McKenna Hare.
Jerome,
okay.
McKenna. You know,
you got Andre Yoshivash over there.
That's
in
where
the
I
NFL.
Was going. Like, you know, they've treated us all
but
right.
But today,
I'll see him in the boxing ring. You think Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson's a pay-per-view event? Paul versus Princeton gonna be crazy.
Yeah, watch out. All right, so the University of Hawaii takes on Princeton to open up the NCAA tournament. And should they win, they would move on to face the winner of Cal and Fresno State.
I
mean, like everybody.
Smack them down too.
But their game is at 1:00 p.m. You can watch it at NCAA.com. Before we get you a little bit more info, though, here is some of what head coach Maureen Cole had to say about her team and then about their upcoming match against Princeton.
All right, coach, this was always the plan. This was always the intent. And if you get to this point, you can jump on a plane and go to the NCAA tournament. But with the moment now here, try to describe the emotions that are running through you and the excitement for this opportunity that lies ahead.
That's the word, it's exciting. You know, this group has worked incredibly hard. It's been a fun, long journey. And I think this team is as good as we're going to get right now. And it's just time to bring the energy, the love for each other, and the passion for this game, and go out and do our best.
Over the course of the season, you know, part of your job is to make these women feel like they can win a national championship. But over the course of the year and as you get to this moment, how much more real do you think that confidence has become that they feel like they can go up there and win a national championship?
I mean, the journey, I think, has showed us that we can, you know, and there's been moments along the journey that has built that confidence. And there's been a lot of close games again early. getting over the hump with overtime wins and overtime losses and just being in those situations. I think they feel really ready and just excited again to play with each other because this group loves each other a lot and they just want to do it for each other. Every team is different. I think this is definitely the most successful team in terms of wins and losses. Obviously, this team has made history with having two number one wins in a season. I think this group is incredibly dynamic. And again, the way they work to each other has been really, really special. So I'll definitely say it's going down in the books as a really special team. Well, Bia Montalato-Diaz, you know, she's in the center. She just reigning two-time Big West Player of the Year. She draws a lot of attention, again, passionate, explosive, just creates a ton of attention that has the ability, if people don't double team her, she's able to finish. And if they do, it opens up the great perimeter players that we have. Bernie on that right-hander side as a lefty with Lucia, they play that 4-5 side together and they're fast, dynamic. She brings a different shooting angle as a left-hander. She's done great. She's a phenomenal perimeter defender. I joke around as lefties don't normally are all offense, but she is probably our best perimeter defender, which is really special. You don't normally find those together. And then Lot Alba, Aggie playing on that 1-2 side. They know how to work together to move the ball. They can finish when they need to. Great counterattack. And then Jordan Wedderburn, our second center, who's gone on, who, you know, she came in as an attacker, an Olympian for South Africa, and she's playing the center position. So when Bia gets tired, she goes in. She can also play on the perimeter as a utility player and post up, and she's found a way to develop a new position, play a new position, and play it exceptionally well. She holds a great position at center. And then Daisy, our goalie, she has... I've been watching a lot of film this week, and she's kept us in games, to be honest. There's been defensive breakdowns, and you want someone in there at the end of the day that when the defense in front of you has failed and they just come up with a huge save, and she's been able to come up with those, and we hope she can this weekend too.
You know, you guys have faced Princeton back in January, beginning of the year. Talk about kind of what you've seen different from them, you know, looking at the film as for the prep for this week, and kind of what are some of the things that are you didn't see when you faced them back in January.
They're extremely talented. They're number 20. Gosh, I know her by her numbers. But just an incredibly dynamic player, is able to create. So we're definitely going to need to do a good job on her. Defensively, even early, they were paying attention and coming quick into the zone. So I think we're going to need to do a good job breaking down the zone once we're moving well enough to break the press. And then our 6-on-5, 5-on-6, that's always going to come down to that. We don't have a ton of film on them, to be quite honest. So figuring that out in the game is going to be well.
That was UH Women's Water Polo head coach Maureen Cole answering questions from the media about her team and, of course, the matchup against Princeton today to open up the NCAA tournament. Again, that game is at 1 p.m. Hawaii time, and you can watch it at NCAA.com. So just to go through some of the stats that were kind of mentioned, and Paul and I mentioned it before we went into that interview. So as she said, so for the first time, they defeated two number one seeds in the season. Earlier in the season, they had defeated Stanford, who was number one at the time. And then they defeated USC a little later after that, who was also number one at the time. But the USC win is also significant because that marked the first Bows win over the Trojans since April 29th, 2006. So it snapped UH's 27-game losing streak in the series, and they ended up beating them again this season. So as Coach Mole had said, it's, you know, she can't say that this is her best team necessarily, but it's definitely, and as we said, like kind of the most consistent and just overall complete and dominant team. And if there's any team that has a chance to go far in this tournament, it's going to be this one this season. So of course, got to take care of business against Princeton first, who they did also beat earlier in the season in the Rainbow Invitational back on January 26th. They won 10-6, but it always changes when you get into the tournament. So should they win again, they will go on to face the winner of Cal and Fresno State. Looking way back, the last time the Rainbow, well, I guess not way back, but still, looking back a couple of years,
back
the last
enough.
Time the Rainbow Wahine were in the NCAA tournament was a couple of years ago in 2021. They faced UCLA in the first round where they lost 12-7. So probably a better matchup for them with Princeton. They already know this team. They are far better than this Princeton team. For what little I know about water polo, I can tell you that we're better than Princeton. But it'll be a huge match should it come down. Luckily, UCLA has a bracket that has like Stanford and USC going against each other, and UCLA gets Wagner.
Yeah, the top half of the bracket is actually a gauntlet of all gauntlets. It's kind of crazy to see. I will say I want to give credit to Coach Mo Cole and her staff and whoever is in charge of their scheduling, because six of the eight teams in the tournament, they've played already this season. They have familiarity with and have gotten in the pool and competed with already this season. That is as tough a scheduling as you can possibly get, in my opinion.
True.
I'm really excited for what could be a run for these Rainbow Wahine, a team who really deserves it, especially in Coach Mo's last season leading this program after giving, her entire life so far to water polo. Gonna, you know, good luck to her in retirement whenever it ends. I hope you have to coach for a few more days, you know?
Exactly. Like, keep on coaching.
Like, I hope it goes on. And it starts with a team, you're right, that we're better than, in my opinion, in Princeton. But at the same time, Princeton didn't just get here by luck either. And that's something you heard Coach Cole talk about. Something, if you hear the players talk, they say the same thing, where they don't overlook anybody. They are focused on next day ahead, next game ahead. And that's part of the reason why they're the number two team in the nation right now.
Yeah, we're allowed to look at next game ahead, though. So
yeah, I'm not playing.
Just to look, I guess, round everything out, what happened this season and looking ahead potentially. Now, the Rainbow Wahine finished, as we mentioned, undefeated in Big West Conference play. They only had three losses overall in the season. Two of those losses coming at the hands of UCLA. They lost in overtime 13-12, and then they lost again 15-9. And the other team that they lost to was Cal. However, it's weird because they beat Cal the first time they played them 10-7, and then the second time they played them, they lost to Cal 9-8, who Cal is the team that we could potentially play next should they get past Fresno State and should Hawaii beat Princeton. So we'll just leave you with that nugget. If they do win today, the next game is tomorrow at 1 o'clock p.m. Hawaii time, and the championship match will be on Sunday at 4 p.m. Hawaii time. So perfect where you can watch baseball and then go into watching some women's water polo, unless it'll be one of those traditional Coach Hill managed games. Then
you watch win number 11 in a row, and then watch win number, oh God, I don't even know how many in a row it is for the Rainbow.
A lot.
Well, because it's 10 with the Big West tournament and the Big West slate, plus I doubt they lost their last game of non-con, so they're probably up to whatever.
If it ends up being Hawaii and UCLA in that championship match, it's when we want to keep talking about, like, hard to beat a team three times. Hard to beat a team three times.
Also, just, I know we got to go to break real quick. What a storybook ending it would be for Coach Mo to go against her alma mater in her final match
and
coaching.
Win.
Like, what a storybook ending that has the potential of being. I know we are looking way too far down the line right now, but.
But again, we're allowed to.
All right.
Players and coaches shouldn't, of course.
I'm not diving into that pool.
Yeah.
There's a reason they're there, and it's because I'm not diving into that pool.
All right. On that note, let's go, Bows. We'll be right back on Wake Up in the Den.
Wake Up in the Den with Kuule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
I got a feeling that tonight's gonna be a good night.
Welcome back to all of you, the beautifulest of all the beautiful people. It's Wake Up in the Den alongside DJ Pauly B. I'm Kuule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM, AM 760, and HawaiiSportsRadio.com. You can also text us at 808-888-KGU1. That's 808-888-5481. And follow us on social media as well at High Sports Radio. We'll definitely be out and about this weekend covering the state tournament action going on. I was out at Kamehameha School's Kapalama campus going back and forth between water polo and boys volleyball. It's very convenient, actually. Like, the if you guys haven't been, the parking structure's right there. And they have like a pedestrian bridge that goes over the road that you can easily go between the gym and go across the way to the pool. So I think I went like probably like 4 or 5 times, like back and forth, to go and give you guys updates on my Twitter for everything that was going on in the boys quarterfinals and the girls water polo quarterfinals. Before we get you caught up with that, though, I want to say congratulations to Jasmine Wong of Iolani, who took home the girls golf state championship, and Punahou girls took the team title a couple of days ago in the middle of the week. You can also go to hawaiisportsradio.com if you want to see the write-up and some photos via Andrew Lee. Shout out, Andrew, for sharing your photos with us as well on our social media. All right, going over to some boys volleyball action. So as I mentioned, I was at KS Kapalama and was able to see, well, it was kind of quick work out of the Moanalua Roosevelt game. Moanalua, the 2 seed, swept Roosevelt to move on to 1 semifinal, and then Kamehameha Kapalama swept Hilo to go and face Moanalua in the 1st semifinal that is happening today out at Punahou at 5 o'clock p.m. On the other side, number 1 seed, Punahou, defeated Kamehameha Hawaii, and in the other side, Mililani defeated number 4 seed in Kamehameha Maui. So it'll be Punahou versus Mililani in the 2nd semifinal happening today, also at Punahou High School. So let's go, Trojans! Let's beat those buff and blue. Come on.
Mililani. Let's go OIA.
I know it's a lot to ask for, though, because Punahou, their boys volleyball program is just like...
It's
kind of good. I remember I showed you like the HHSA record book, and it's
that it would have been easier for us to read off the non-Punahou winners and their years.
The boys volleyball title. Yeah, that's just about it. You see like a sprinkle of like Kamehameha in there. You have some OIA schools from like way back in the day. And other than that, it's just been... Punahou's been dominant. But hey, that's why you play the game. So let's go Mililani. You can... Play your butts off.
I mean, Mililani had a pretty nice performance as well. They won in 4 sets, right?
Yeah. Oh, this one, yes. Against Kamehameha Maui.
Yeah. See, and you know what? I'll take that. I'll take that. You didn't have to use up all your energy. Yeah, you're going to need all of it tonight.
I tell you what, on the flip side, though, I think Moanalua has a legit shot against Kamehameha Kapalama. Like, I know Kainoa Wade is there, and they're still a very good team, but, I mean, watching Zeke Sablon from Moanalua, he is incredible. And I got a chance to sit down with my cousin, or second cousin, I guess, my dad's cousin, whatever, but whose son played on JV at Moanalua, but he got called up, so he gets to be on the varsity roster for the state tournament, but... Because I was wondering, where did this kid come from? Because I know he wasn't a returnee when we were covering the OIA championships last week. And when I looked him up, like he didn't show up on like any of the scoring live stuff from previous years. But he's a junior. Like, I know he's not a freshman. He's a junior. So I'm like, where did he come from? And then he came from Guam. And his mom is a really good beach volleyball player. And this kid... is actually traditionally plays beach volleyball. So he's still getting accustomed and acclimated to playing indoor. He's incredible. Like he.
So I sit here and I've learned so much about volleyball in my time here in Hawaii.
Pretty much all your knowledge of volleyball.
And I've started to get into beach a little bit more in the past calendar year. And this is totally my feeling. I feel like the transition from beach to indoor would be easier to be like a star. And I don't know fully why I feel that way. I think it's because you have a little bit more help to perhaps hide your flaws. And to the hardwood is, or the, you know,
it's easier to jump for sure.
Well, that's what I mean is your athleticism. I'm sure he's already incredibly athletic having to go up and show off the springs on the beach and in the sand. Mm-hmm. When you're on the hardwood floor, like that's what we're actually built to jump from. And as athletes, I have to imagine that he probably almost feels like he's got you know, spring-loaded legs at that point. So I'm curious to see how that development continues, being that, like you said, it's an early transition mm-hmm. period for him, whereas like most of his life or most of his experience with volleyball has become beach volleyball.
Yeah, but I just thought that was fascinating. It explains a lot, because again, I was like, where did this guy come from? Because I don't see him showing up anywhere, so he didn't transfer.
He randomly spawned in.
Yeah, he didn't transfer from a school here because we've never heard of him before. Yeah, so he's from Guam, and when that tie to his mom being a beach volleyball player, really good one apparently. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, this explains a lot. So that being said, I mean, and of course Alan Cavanting has been winning, like, yeah, right. Well, obviously the UH coaches were there because Wade, like, you know, Charlie was there. Charlie was there in slippers, which is kind of funny to see. I usually see him in professional settings, so he always wears shoes.
But that's fair.
He's just there to obviously watch his son play for Kamehameha. And then I saw Coach Milan out there as well. So, but they were sitting in the stands for what felt like the entire Moanalua Roosevelt game. That game was the one before Kamehameha versus Moanalua or Hilo, excuse me. So I was like, maybe they are looking at this Zeke kid, because he's still going to grow potentially and fill out more. And he's already has an athletic build and has hops. So potentially, maybe that would be pretty cool if he came out to Moanalua. But anyways, yeah, I just think that match I can see being competitive. I haven't seen Punahou play at all yet, so I can't really say how well Mililani will compete with them this year.
I'm just
going from the historical standpoint of you're always trusting that Punahou will have like a phenomenal program in boys volleyball. So
they're ridiculous, dude.
But that's why you play the game. So in the first semifinal in boys volleyball of today, it'll be Division One. It'll be Moanalua versus Kamehameha Kapalama at 5, and then Punahou versus Mililani at 7. Both games at Punahou High School. On the Division Two side, there's any time where I'm okay with a OIA school losing, especially our dear friends at Waialua, it would be to the hands of a school like Molokai. Molokai swept the OIA Division II champs in Waialua yesterday to move on to the semifinal. University beat Kau, so University is the number one seed in Division II. Molokai is number 5. They play in the second semifinal of the day today at 7 o'clock p.m. at Kalani High School. And in the other semifinal, Kona Waina beat Kailua in 4, and Le Jardin beat Island School in 5. So it'll be number 2 seed Kona Waina and Le Jardin in the first D2 semifinal of the day, 5 o'clock p.m. at Kalani High School. And last but of course not least, girls water polo, which I had a fun time going back and forth. The best views ever, that is Kamehameha Schools, right up the road from where we are, though.
Up on the hill.
Yeah. I'm going to take you there tomorrow, so you'll be able to see it for yourself. We're going to be covering the water polo championships tomorrow, Paul and myself. And our Michael Lescaro will be camped out at boys volleyball, so you guys can just follow our social media channels for all of the up-to-date action. But in girls water polo, in the semifinal matches going on today, in the first semifinal, it'll be Iolani versus Kamehameha Kapalama. Iolani beat Kahuku 9-6, and Kamehameha Kapalama beat their sister school in Kamehameha Hawaii 17-1. So Iolani versus Kamehameha Kapalama. And then in the other semifinal, it'll be the number one seed Punahou taking on OIA Kaiser.
Woo! The Beast of the East.
Cougar Nation domination.
Shout out Andrew Choi.
Oh, man. And so Kaiser beat Baldwin yesterday 12-3, and Punahou beat Roosevelt 12-6. So those games relatively closer than the 17-1 with the two Kamehameha schools battling. So 6 o'clock p.m., Iolani, Kamehameha Kapalama, and 7:15, Punahou, Kaiser, up the road at the beautiful pool with all the views at Kamehameha Schools, Kapalama, you know, Upper Farrington campus. That's what it's called.
It's just funny.
It's like literally like right up the same thing. Anywho, all right, gotta step aside for our last break. Don't miss us too much. We'll be right back on Wake Up in the Den.
Stop me now.
Wake up in the den with Kuule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Shooting star leaping through the sky like a tiger, defying the laws of gravity. I'm a racing car.
Welcome back to Wake Up in the Den, Kuule Agbayani and Paul Brecht. I don't have my headphones on because I was trying to
sell a new video. You're rocking out.
Through the sky, yeah, 200 degrees. Oh, man. Miss Fahrenheit, thank you very much. Oh, this is too much fun. All right.
It's been a fun Friday.
It's been so fun. Just there's so much going on, and it's almost like the last burst of energy is the last couple of weeks, and then we'll be wrapped up with high school sports coverage. And then, as we mentioned in the beginning of the show, baseball gets wrapped up at the end of the month. And then, man, and then we're all pal. And then we kind of ramp up again, planning for the football season. The University of Hawaii women's basketball team is doing their Japan tour, which we are still considering going on, or at least a few of us, and maybe for part of the trip. And then July is Mountain West Media Days. So we'll have that football coverage as well. My goodness. It's just going to like take a small little dip and then we're back in it again. Mr. Paul Breck does big boy things in July as well. And he will be gone.
Big boy things.
He will be gone for a little bit in July and then rejoin us in time for the beginning of the high school and college football seasons. It'll get here in no time as well. Oh my gosh. I can't believe we're wrapping up the sports season already. It just feels so weird.
The year has blown by.
But yes, Paul Brecht. So by next football season, you guys, Paul will be a married man.
And there will be a Mr. and a Mrs.
Woo!
And it'll be very, very fun.
Woo!
Exciting stuff coming up over the summer for me, but also for HSRN. You guys know that we're going to continue to push the boundaries as best we can to bring you the most information that we possibly can, and also bring you the most fun and uplifting information that we can. That's what we do over here at Hawaii Sports Radio Network, is we always have the positive vibes rolling, positive Paul here on this Aloha Friday.
Also, I'm going to throw our Michael Escaro like out there, not under the bus necessarily, but he has told us now that
he's a Pacers fan, so do it.
Now that he is, you know, part of our team full time, he has said that football is his jam. So we're going to throw it out there that we are going to bring you the best football coverage come the fall. And I'm putting it on Michael Escaro. That's why I'm throwing it out there. I was like, hey, now that there's three of us, I feel like Paul and I by ourselves did a pretty decent job. You know, it was a good job, but we like to be better because we're still covering everything else going on in the fall as well. But now Michael is on our team. So we're going to bring you the best coverage of both high school, I guess, your overall one-stop shop. Obviously, you have one-offs where it's like they only focus on this and they only focus on this football, like high school and only college or whatever. But we will probably be your one-stop shop to bring you the best overall football coverage. So I'm manifesting it. I'm throwing it into the universe. And Michael, it's because of you that you're on our team. So if my word is not good in the fall, then I'm blaming you.
It's all Michael's fault. No. And trust, we understand there are a ton of people out here who are super, super passionate about football, covering football. Our friends over at Warrior All Access do such a phenomenal job with UH football as well. Obviously, Scoring Live, mm-hmm. who we're partnered with here at HSRN, does a great job covering all high school sports. But like Koo said, your one-stop shop
overall
for everything Hawaii football, whether that's on the high school fields or over at TC Ching.
And the play-by-play.
Exactly. So, you know, we're really excited to bring you guys a ton of fun stuff coming up next year. And hopefully that's coming up with a ton of wins on the way as well, as we've seen Hawaii programs be pretty consistent in terms of being competitive. Now let's start mm-hmm. winning some championships.
Yeah, let's go. All right. So we have a few minutes left. And to end our show, it's Mother's Day on Sunday. So come on, Paul, we got to talk about our amazing mothers in our lives.
Don't have to tell me twice.
Let's give a shout out to Mama Heather.
Shout out to Mama Heather and all that she does. I mean, she has worked exceptionally hard my entire life. She's also a incredibly dedicated listener to Wake Up in the Den. She tunes in every morning. And if she can't tune in, she always listens on the podcast, which you beautiful people can do as well. But she's awesome. She works 73 jobs, it feels like. She works day in, day night, and always tries to make the best for myself, my little sister, my dad, my lovely fiance, literally anybody and everybody. I joke, you know, she's my travel agent. She's my therapist.
You did say that.
She is. She's helping me. I am going back for my little sister's graduation in a couple weeks here. And, you know, that's going to be a nice time. Mama Heather helping out with that as well, just because she is as good as they come. And I appreciate her supporting me all throughout these years. I can literally never repay what she has done for me, both from an emotional standpoint as her son and helping me as a human being grow. A big reason why I am Positive Paul and why I get to share that persona with you beautiful people is because of Mama Heather and all of what she has meant to me growing up and still to this day. So really excited to celebrate her this upcoming Sunday and continue celebrating her every day throughout the year, as we all should with our lovely mothers.
Yeah. Shout out to Mama Heather. Thank you for supporting your son to live so far away from you, because we enjoy having him a part of our team. I know that can't be easy, right? For parents to be this far, yeah, all the way across the country. I know she's made it out here once, but happy you get to see them next week. Yeah, you get to see them next week.
I said a couple weeks, and
no,
I lied.
No, it's next week already.
It's really just coming up just like that.
You threw me
man.
Off for a second. I'm like, I swear it's
like,
next week.
Do I have next week?
It's on my
week?
Calendar.
It,
that,
is,
like,
it is, it is.
To keep track of all of this stuff, as, you know, we got like our Alan Mia that's in Japan today, or traveling to Japan.
Us.
I know. But no, it sounds like your mom and my mom could be like best friends, because it's similar with my mom as well, where she is just always missed, happy, go lucky all the time. Growing up, it's like anytime I had like a poor attitude or was upset about something, it's like, it's okay, like, just be happy. Thank you, Jesus. Like,
but that's what, like, you need.
Yeah.
You need that type,
like,
of person in your life.
Just be happy. Like, you know, when you know, like, there's just like very few people, like I like to consider myself a positive and a nice person, but then my mom like takes it to like another level. Like, I'm like, I don't even know how someone can be this like nice and cheery all the time. Again, because I think I'm very nice and cheery, but I think my mom is like next level of nice and cheery all the
time. It's one of those things where you think you are great, and then you look at your parent and you're like, I wish I could be half as good.
Yeah.
You know, I wish I could be half as happy and positive and all of that. Like, that's the best thing to have as a parent.
Yeah. So I think she said she wants to go to yoga in the morning on Sunday, of course, but she's always working really hard. So shout out to you, Mom, Nalani Ugbayani, or some of you from Waipahu might know her as Lillian, specifically Lillian Cachola. Give her the Mother's Day shout out, of course. So looking forward to hanging. And she's like my best friend now. Like, she's awesome. But it's just so weird, right? When you think, I don't know, boys are different. And I just remember throughout like growing up where it was like, oh, parents are the worst, and then now they're like my best friends. And then my mom especially, who has always been there for me. I talked about it before, how when I was getting bullied in high school, it's like, mom knows, like, she knew something was wrong with her daughter and was like, hey, what's wrong, honey? And then just had this whole conversation of everything. But thanks, Mom, for always being out or supportive and always being there for me and knowing that you're there through tough times. Sometimes that's all it takes from a parent, just to let your kids know that you're here, and be cheery and be positive and woo, happy all the time, happy all the time. But with that, happy Mother's Day to all of the other moms out there. We appreciate all of you, but we got to go. For Paul Brecht, I'm Kule. Mahalo for listening. Bye.